or some shit that gonna make me think about life.
Maybe. All right, yo, 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 fake radio. We got a very much anticipated guest on the show today. Introduce yourself.
Yo, what's up, everybody? The name is Jaden Dante Gear.
Jaden Dante Gear on the show. Finally, he's been mentioned many times. He's on here. Yeah. Album Knox out now.
Yeah.
Let's dig in. So
let's do it.
Also, one of, because I'm starting the CD collection, one of the few owner of his CD. It's you. At this point, it's you, Zayl Caps, and Clark D.
Word. Clark D, yep. Awesome. Yeah, man.
All right, so you from San Jose?
Yep. San Jose, California.
Yep. So what's like the music scene out there? How'd you kind of get into
music stuff? So, well, okay. Mm-hmm. This is going to be a long one.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. No,
so
I'm ready.
So strap
I'm ready.
In.
Yeah.
When I first started making music, it actually was by accident.
Okay.
I was initially, I'm trained in kind of like animation. So I did a lot of animation and illustration when I was younger. I thought I was going to make my own cartoon and shit. Uh-huh. But I went to a public school. Yeah. And when I got to high school, I thought they were going to offer animation classes. They didn't. Uh-huh. And all I had was anything art related or something that I thought was cool. All they had was traditional art one. Yeah. And then they had drama one. And I was like, okay. Uh-huh. Like, growing up, I made like a lot of videos on YouTube. So a lot of them are private now, but I used to make like a lot of videos and taught myself how to edit through YouTube. So like, I did shit with my flip phone. I was like, okay, I can do this acting thing. So I did drama and I took art one my freshman year. I didn't like traditional art because, like I said, I'm like more into cartoons.
Yeah. And this is in high school?
This is high school. Yeah, so this is 2014, my freshman year.
Gotcha.
I had a MacBook Air at the time. GarageBand was on it. I want to say early 2015, still my freshman year, I just decided to play with GarageBand. And I was like, oh, shit, I could do this too. Uh-huh. And then that's why I think I have an issue with just having too many hats and not being a technical master at any of them because I just do so much shit.
Yeah.
But fast forward to the music scene in San Jose. Yeah. When I first started making music, because the scene wasn't really existent, a lot of my peers were very supportive. Like, I don't have that traditional story of nobody believed in me and I had to get it from the mud. Like, there really wasn't a scene, so nobody really had an opinion on whether it was cool or not. It was like, oh shit, all right, you're doing that. That's dope. You know? And mind you, there was a little scene bubbling at the time. San Jose is tech based because it's Silicon Valley. It's a part of Silicon Valley. So you know, that's where your Apple, your Google.
It's like the city of the future.
Yeah, your Yahoo, Uber, Lyft, all the fucking crazy technical advancements came from the Bay Area.
Yeah.
So there really was no art scene. And we had this one place called Local Color where, you know, that was my first place I ever really performed at. A lot of musicians in San Jose would go there perform. That was kind of like our hub, but it shut down a few years ago.
Dang.
So the music scene, I can't really speak on it now. There's some folks there who are doing some big things, like Kid Lords. I don't know if you're familiar with them.
Kid Lords. Okay, I think I've saw you and
those are the homies. They're doing their thing. I got a little bubbling type of accent going on, and then my other friend Joe Uska. You've seen, bro. He's still in San Jose. He's doing his own thing, but it's not really a scene for it. And I think it's because there's not a lot of opportunities for musicians in San Jose. Yeah.
Not the infrastructure. Stuff.
Yeah, and I'm just speaking purely right now. At the time, there was something happening. When I'm talking from 2014 up until 2018, when I graduated high school and I moved to Los Angeles, there was something happening, but it wasn't enough for me. And who else, what other reason to come to LA other than to find, I guess a space for your artistic endeavors? I mean, it just makes sense.
And so you moved out here 2 years ago?
I moved to LA in 2018.
Got you, right.
I went to Musicians Institute for a year. I did their IEP program and I got their certificate. IEP stands for Independent Artist Program.
Got you.
I did their IEP program, got my certificate, went back to the Bay Area in 2019.
Yeah.
2020, the pandemic hit. 2021, my girlfriend and I moved to Los Angeles because she got a job at Sony.
2021.
So I moved back for the second time. And then, I've been living in Culver ever since.
Right.
The times that I did go back and forth to the Bay Area, though, there was really nothing happening musically. I mean, like, you can argue, like, there's some shit going on in San Francisco or Oakland, but San Jose specifically... not really much was happening on that front. When they shut down Local Color, like, it was like, all right, that's raps. And, like, a lot of people who I know from San Jose who were making music at the time have gone on to do big things, but they moved out of San Jose.
Right.
Like, they definitely moved to Los Angeles or just maybe New York or whatever.
Yeah.
And, you know, they make pop music, but they figured it out. But it just sucks because they didn't technically do it in their hometown. Yeah. And I also feel kind of guilty about that, too. That's why I respect Joe Uska. Because he's like, no, I'm going to make some crazy shit here and then show, like, any, like, kids around this area that you can do it to, like, I did it in San Jose. That's, like, my long-winded response to, like, the music scene in San Jose. That's my home, but not really much is going on there.
Yeah. When you dropped Cowboy in 2019, so you were in L.A. Wow.
Well, I didn't know you were gonna reference Cowboy.
I listened to the whole it's because it's funny, when I first had Arlena on back in like September 2022 or something, she like mentioned you, and then I listened to Cowboy, like,
I appreciate that.
When people say check out, so I try to be hip to that was like your like nickname, right, when you
So, funny story about my stage name. It's gone through, like, basically three iterations at this point, kind of. When I first started making music, I went by just Jaden Gear.
Yeah.
And, like, that shit worked. Everyone was like, oh, it has a ring to it. It's cool. And I was like, like, it sounds gross. Like, who the fuck is going to say Jaden Gear? So then I was like, all right, I'm going to come up with an alias. And when I moved to L.A., this is, like, mid to late 2018.
Yeah.
There's a street out here in L.A. called Verdugo. And I was like, that's cool. And I was like, I want a stage name that when you see me come on stage, people can be like, what the fuck? That's not what I was expecting. I was like, what's the whitest thing I could think of? Like, the whitest name I could think of.
Yeah.
Whatever reason, Simon popped up.
Simon. That's who's talking in the beginning of Knox.
It's deep. I was like, okay, Simon Verdugo. But get this. Vertigo came from one of my favorite films of all time, Alfred Hitchcock's Vertigo. One of my favorite movies. Like, I own the vinyl record, I own a VHS tape, I own the DVD.
Mm-hmm.
About to get a poster for that hoe.
Yeah.
That is one of my favorite movies of all time. I don't know what it is. It's just because it's like nothing wild. There's nothing crazy about the film other than the main character Loki just going insane over this chick who he thought died but is actually alive. Like, it's I think it's because it takes place in, like, the 50s. I have a soft spot.
Yeah.
It's, like, 50s, 60s. I have a soft spot for that era of, like, film and, like, score.
Yeah.
It's really pretty. And it takes place in San Francisco.
Right.
And so it's, like, you know, I love the Bay Area. Seeing San Francisco, like, 60, 70-something years ago.
Yeah.
It just, I don't know, it just brings me a lot of feels and emotions. But that's where the Vertigo came from. I was, like, I took what the street Verdugo... in L.A., that spelling, put Vertigo on top of it, and, like, I spelled it V-E-R-T-U-G-O, and I was like, Simon Vertigo. There we go.
Simon Vertigo.
And then I was like, during the pandemic, I had a whole identity crisis, and I was like, what the fuck is Simon Vertigo if not just Jaden Dante Gear and me using Simon Vertigo as a vehicle for all my thoughts? I was like, this doesn't make any sense. So I was like, it was kind of like the same reasoning that Kendrick Lamar wanted to keep his name Kendrick Lamar instead of K-Dot. He's just like, this is me.
But where does the cowboy fit in?
Okay. Yeah. Cowboy... Cowboy was me trying to, like, be creative and smart as a... Like, the album itself is supposed to be, like, me on a horse strolling into young adulthood.
Yeah.
It was literally, like, me... becoming a young man, which I still don't think I've reached yet because time is relative and, like, everything's made up. But between, like, 16 to 18, I felt like I was kind of like a lone cowboy on a mission to just grow up. I was the biggest fear I've ever had in my life was growing up. It still terrifies me to this day because time doesn't stop.
Yeah.
And so cowboy, that's all that cowboy means. It was literally just, if I could visualize it, it was just me, like, on a horse, just, you know.
Yeah, because you're saying Knox, like, the cowboy is, this is, I was like, oh, is that, like, your nickname? But that's, like, that's...
Yeah,
like,
yeah, I mean, yeah, you can call me that. Yeah. Call me cowboy. Yeah. Call me Simon Vertigo, Jaden. Yeah. It's all,
you,
yeah.
You produce all your...
Everything.
You know, everything. Everything.
Everything.
Do you play piano, too?
Yeah.
A lot of, okay, got you, because there's a lot of piano. I was like, is he playing?
Yeah, yeah, I play everything.
When did you learn to play piano?
I kind of, like, just played around with it. I was never formally taught. YouTube University taught me a lot. When I went to... Shout out YouTube University, man.
YouTube University.
When I went to Musicians Institute, however, that's when I really, like, learned how to actually play. Because I would, like, play things. I didn't know what I was doing, but I was like, it sounds good to my ear, so I must be doing something right. I'll be honest, a lot of the shit that I did play... when I first started playing with piano was just in the key of C major. Yep. I mean, it's simple. It's all the white keys. But when I went to Musicians Institute, I learned basic music theory, which helped me greatly. And then I learned, like, keyboard essentials, which was a bit... There were, I don't know why I took both of those classes. I don't know why they forced you to take both, because they're essentially the same thing. One just has you focus more on learning how to read sheet music, which... I'm not good at. Like, I can hear when something's out, or you can, if you tell me to play a chord, I'll be able to play it for you, but read it, I fucking can't do it. So yeah, that's, I basically learned, like, traditionally, I learned how to play piano when I went to Music Institute, but before then, like, you'll hear, like, a lot of older songs, like, I was playing everything, it might sound a little off, or like, ooh, that's weird, but, you know, I've been playing for, I want to say... since 2016, so how many years is that? We're in 2024? Like
that's 8 years? 8 years, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't really start taking it seriously until like 5 years ago.
Yeah. And the production is always like very inspired, you know, very like, you know, very cool, very like, you got original style, which I really fuck with. And like you, I like, Adamir does this too, which I fuck with, is he like lets the beats kind of like play out like.
Yeah.
You know, what kind of inspired you to start doing that? Who are like your favorite producers, kind of?
Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh man, give me a second. I forgot how to pronounce his last name. Is it Grossum? Ludwig Grossum?
Oh yeah, Ludwig Gorson.
Ludwig
Gorson.
He works a lot with Gambino.
Yeah.
Honestly, his production is a lot more centered in like traditional music theory. Like, he definitely knows what he's doing, his ear is what I gravitate towards the most. If you can already tell, like, there's a lot of alternative, I use like a lot of alternative sounds
to
really do my own little pocket of hip hop. So definitely like Tyler, Odd Future. I like a lot of 90s boom bap. So like Q-Tip. I listen to a lot of indie music, like alternative shit. And you'll definitely hear like in my decisions when I'm making stuff, like it's very like, I haven't been able to really capture their essence without like stealing from them directly, but I listen to a lot of Stereolab. Love Stereolab. There's another band I low key want to gatekeep. They're a Swedish band. But I listen to them a lot, and maybe later down the line I'll expose them. But I like want to keep it to myself just because. I don't know, bro. I love them so much, but I don't want the internet to ruin it. Not saying like they will, but. There's always a chance that some fucking TikToker is gonna take this like a song of that album or whatever and then just blow it in holy hell.
I feel that. I was at a show last night. I won't say who, but I was at a show last night with Mary, and I was like, see, like, we're here before, like, this person's cool, and then she was like, yeah, you're not gonna like fuck with this person if they become like a huge pop star. I was like, no, that's why we gotta be here right now.
That's how. Like, I feel like a piece of shit because I think everyone should be exposed to new sounds and music. I'll tell you after the podcast, I think you should definitely hear them. But there's that. Who else, man? My peers.
Yeah,
a lot of my peers inspire me.
For sure.
Shout out the homies, man. I might not take direct inspiration from them as far as like composing and whatnot, but. The homie NC17, NJ, definitely look up to bro a lot. My homies from Bleach Sun, Juno's Rocket.
You've known Bleach Sun for a long time because they're on Cowboy
too. Oh yeah,
so
yeah.
You've known them for. Well, how'd you?
Oh, that story is crazy. This is gonna throw you off. Yeah. So get this. So my first ever performance ever. I actually found photos of this day like a month ago. I found photos of this day. was from this club I took in high school. Yeah. It was I was a part of. It was this club called Musicians United. And at the time, I didn't know what I was doing, but I had my first mixtape out. It was called Jubilant Deep Cut.
Okay.
It's I think it was on DatPiff, and now DatPiff's got taken down. So I have an archive. It was on SoundCloud. I took it down.
Okay, bet, because I was like...
It's one of my first mixtapes. My first mixtape ever is called Musty Krusty. Shit is non-existent anymore. Right.
Yeah,
there's one of my friends from high school, though, did burn a CD of some of the songs from Musty Krusty, and I do own that. So that's the only record we have of it. But Jubilant was out. It was 2015. Actually, Jubilant wasn't out. This was 2015.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So you've been like recording and making music like...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
For a while, I've only started to get good within like the last 2 years. Hey. Dead ass. Well, I mean, that's how I feel. You're always going to feel like that.
Yeah.
But William, shout out William. He's a San Jose legend. He was putting together this performance after school. And he was like getting all the musicians who were part of the club to come perform for, I don't know, just like a night or whatever after school. Yeah. And I performed some of the tracks that were going to be on my future mixtape Jubilant, which came out in 2016. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Performed it that night. And when he was an upperclassman. I was a freshman at the time. So when he graduated, I must have been 16. It was like 2017. He already graduated. Yeah. He invited me to perform at this event called No Chill Summer. It was his thing. He said he wanted to put together a performance or a lineup of performers who were based in the Bay Area, or at least San Jose for more specifically, and he wanted to have them come perform.
Yeah.
But I was like, oh shit. Like he reached out, he was like, yo, do you want to come do this? And I was like, oh fuck, yeah. Because he was like, yo, I remember you from the Musicians United performance.
Yeah,
and like,
so remembered you from a music club
performance. Right, right. And I was like, fuck yeah. Around this time too, I was, I think I had just released my second official mixtape, and that was Jubilant, which you can, or not Jubilant, Kid Blossom Road, which you can find on SoundCloud. That's still there.
Yeah.
And so get this, 2 weeks up until the day of the performance, like, I let William know, like, yo, like, I think I got a cut. I don't want to perform. It was, like, some self-doubt shit. I was like, I don't know if people are going to fuck with this. Because I was making, like, really dark, weird.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't know if this is ready. I just started, like, you know, I was like, fuck it. I'm not going to do it. And Will was like, you sure? I was like, yeah, man, like, fuck it. And I sat with it for, like, 2 weeks. like, 3 days before the performance. In hindsight, I'm like, bro, this is such asshole shit. Yeah. But 3 days before the performance, I asked, bro, I was like, hey, yo, actually, like, would you mind if I performed like in that same slot? Cause like, I think I can do it now. He was like, I don't know. Let me see. He hit me up like a couple hours later or something like that. And he was just like, yo, so one of the performers actually can't perform and like had to bail out. Yeah. I had to move some stuff around. He's like, but I can get you in for one song. And I was okay, fuck. So I ended up performing. You can find, So you can find this on YouTube on my Not of Eyes YouTube channel. That's a whole nother arc to talk about. But, I performed one song. It was Dante's Deal with Dante. It was literally about this guy who fucking... The song was about this guy who kills his girl for not taking him to Sadie's. But I sampled a dramatic song. I can't remember the one. But people fucking loved it. People loved it, which was throwing me the fuck off. Mind you, like I said, like there's not a lot of opportunities for musicians in San Jose.
Right, yeah.
Which is funny because we didn't even host the performance in San Jose. I think it was Santa Clara. Which is only like... maybe 15, 20 minutes away from San Jose, still in the Bay Area, but I just thought that was funny.
Yeah.
People like that. I was like, okay, I have something here. Like, there is something here. And this was No Chill Summer 1.
Yeah.
He was like, and this is in June, so I had just turned 17 a few days before we had this event. He was like, I want to do a second one in July.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, He's like, I want you to come to my house and help me pick people and like go through our Google spreadsheet and help me pick people to come and perform for the second one in July. And I was like, okay. So go to his house in San Ho. I'm with some of my other boys. I'll talk about later.
Yeah.
But we're going through the spreadsheet right now. At the time, Bleach Sun was going under Dirty Litter Box. So we see Dirty Litter Box like on the sign up sheet and we click their SoundCloud link. They have this song called Rari, like Rari 458.
Yeah.
Or is this called Rari or whatever. And I played it, and I was like, holy shit, this is crazy. I was like, Will, we need to bring these guys to San Jose. Yeah. Because on the sign-up thing, I think they ask, like, what city are you from or whatever, and they're in fucking the IE, the Inland Empire. Like, right, I think they tried to mask it as like Los Angeles or something. But I was like,
yeah, because I didn't know if they were also from San Jose.
So I was like, oh shit, like, no, we got to bring these guys here.
Yeah.
Which is wild because had I not listened to their music, I probably would have never met them. Not on some like, well, no shit, Jaden. Like, yeah, because you had to actively like pick them. But I was like, no, like, if I had not clicked that link, there was a slight chance that they wouldn't have shown up.
Yeah.
So I told Will, like, yo, we got to bring these guys up here. Yeah. I'm like, okay, for sure.
Uh-huh.
Will sent the invite at some point. I don't know all the logistics of what went down behind the scenes, but Dylan and Brian and I think their other homie, Jib, who's an official member of Bleach Sun.
Yeah.
He's like the third unofficial member. Uh-huh. But Dylan and Brian, they drive like 6-7 hours the day of.
Wow.
To the performance, and then I met them in person.
That's crazy.
And while we were doing our sound check, like, I'm doing my shit for rehearsing, whatever, they're fucking with me, right? They're like, oh, he's hard.
Yeah.
They go up and they rehearse, and like, I'm fucking with their song. I'm like, wait, y'all are crazy hard. Like, so we're just chopping up, and then I was like, no, we have to work together. Like, I fuck with you guys tough. And at the time they were 20, I was 17, so it must have been kind of awkward for them because it was like this fucking 17-year-old kid, you know.
Yeah.
But they were just had genuine hearts. I really fuck with them, and so we did our performance. It was cool. We kept in contact.
Yeah.
Will was like, I want to do another one, and so Will did this another performance called Chill Some More, and this was later in the same year. This is like November, December 2017. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
They invite Dylan and Brian to come back.
Yeah.
At this point, I think they're going under Bleach Sun.
Yeah.
So they come back. Uh-huh. My like fake real brand Night of Eyes is like, it's kind of like a magazine, but also some other shit. It's like the hub where I really like showcase everything I know how to do.
Yeah.
I had made like t-shirts. I gave Dylan and Brian t-shirts because I fuck with them so tough. I was like, here you go. Like, these are for you. Like, really? I'm like, yeah, bro. Like, these are for you. I fuck with y'all. Like.
Uh-huh.
I told him, and this is when I was thinking about going to Music Institute. I'm like, I'm thinking about moving to LA next year after I graduate so we can work. Like, since I know y'all are out there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they're like, okay, yeah, for sure. Like, let us know type shit.
Mm-hmm.
So we perform again. This is like December 2017. I would just FaceTime them randomly, like just annoying as shit. Like, we didn't know each other really, bro. Like, outside of Instagram interactions, maybe a couple texts here and there.
Mm-hmm.
I would just fuck with them. But like, the vibe was always the same. We always liked the same shit.
Yeah.
Our humor was like always on the same type of shit.
Yeah.
And they just had genuine hearts. And I've always gravitated towards people who had a vision, who like to push themselves or also just push me by just existing. Like, them existing always make me strive to be better and better each and every day. Shout out Dylan and Brian, my folks.
That's a beautiful story.
Yeah, man. Yeah. And I'm gonna just skip a little further. They had this song come out, and this was my senior year of high school. They had this song come out called Black Crow.
Mm-hmm.
And they shot a music video for it. I was in my fashion design and textile art class when the video dropped, and there was like some downtime, so I started watching it, and I seen that like Brian was wearing my Night of Eyes t-shirt in the video, and I did like a lap around my classroom. I was like, oh shit, like I was looking fanning out, even though these were like somewhat kind of like not my boys, but like kind of my boys. I was just like, oh shit, like oh fuck. They also took photos of themselves in the t-shirts and shit like that, made crazy edits, sent it to me, and I was like, oh shit, like this is wild. Fast forward in 2018, I let them know I'm like moving to Los Angeles.
Yeah,
I got into Musicians Institute. The day I moved in, I'm like texting them like, yo, like, let's go link, whatever, whatever.
Yeah.
They'd be like, oh, we're in the IE. And I was like, what the fuck is the IE?
Bro, for real. Yeah.
And it was like an hour some change out. And I was like, oh, y'all not really in LA. Y'all just say you in LA to just make shit simple.
Yeah.
I was like, fuck.
Uh-huh.
At the time, I didn't have a license. I didn't have a car. Uh-huh. My dorm room was off of Wilcox near Hollywood. It was literally off the Walk of Fame. Like, if you go to Wilcox, make a left, there's the Walk of Fame. And I could walk to school. It was like a 7-minute walk to school.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was like, yo, we got a link. Like, I think I was out there for maybe 2 weeks, 3 weeks by the time we hung out for the first time. Like, ever outside of on some music shit. Uh-huh. Like, at a show.
Yeah.
We linked for one day because I wanted to interview them for my magazine, Night of Eyes Magazine. Night Magazine.
Yeah.
And you can find that, too. If you go to Night of Eyes Tumblr, you'll see, like, I interviewed them. I think they were, like, 21 at the time. I interviewed them. We took photos, and that was our first time like really interacting outside of a show. And they were telling me how much money they spent on studio time. They went to this guy who was like very cheap, like he would mix and master their shit and engineer their shit, offer $80.
Yeah.
He was like, you know, it was like 2 hours, but it was $80. They were telling me that, and I was like, bro, I go to Musicians Institute. I was like, I can just get y'all guest passes and we can just record on my studio.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, really? And I was like, yeah. I was like, while I'm taking this, like these classes and shit, and my grandpa is paying all this fucking money for me to go here. I was like, you shouldn't be paying for studio time. So, the only downside was students were only able to book out like 9 hours of studio time a week. So, you know, you can disperse that. Like you book a studio for 2 hours Monday, 2 hours Wednesday, 2 hours, whatever. Right. Yeah, as long as you fill up your entire like 9 hours, it doesn't really matter how much, how many days you can do it all in one day if you can, as long as no one's booked in between. So they drive from the IE, take them like an hour, almost 2 hours sometimes. I'd book out a Friday or a Saturday with just 9 hours of studio time. I'd be like, fuck it, we're gonna record for 10 hours, whatever. They get at eight, they get there, they get there at like seven or eight. We wouldn't be out until like three something, 4 o'clock in the morning. And so then you'll, if you go backwards to like the back, the Bleach Sun catalog and you hear my shit.
Yeah, because you're on the, they're like, for, or one of their albums.
Oh, I'm on their
like,
first, I'm on every single album.
Yeah, but you're like actually on like a lot of, a bunch of songs.
Yeah, because we was going crazy during that time. Like, I introduced them to the homie Stanley Power. Shout out Stan. Love you, Stan.
Shout out Stan.
He's in Huntington Beach right now. I miss him so much. But we met in music school. He made the album. There's another associate of mine that we don't really talk to anymore, but he was on the album because we just invited him to the school studio. And like, mind you, like, because of my close proximity to some people in the school studio, of course, when Dylan and Brian came to the studio, they were gonna connect with the other homies. So if you listen to the first track, Todavía Ha Tiempo, off of There's Still Time, their first official album, you'll hear me. You know, Mel Nixon, who I don't talk to anymore, but I hope bro is doing okay. And then Stanley Powers, like that was all recorded in my my school studio in the IEP studios. And then like they were working on their second album the same time. They released a second one in May that year. It was called No More Room in Hell, and you'll hear me plaster off all those fucking damn near all those songs. And this was happening around the same time I was working on Cowboy. Fun fact, there's a song from No More Room in Hell called Bet that is fucking hype. We actually recorded a video for in my school studio that you can find on their YouTube channel. That night, we recorded that song. We also recorded the final track to Cowboy, which is called Manifest. Bet and Manifest were recorded in the same night. One is like super intense, like super intense, hype, ignorant as fuck. And the other one is like inspiring, like hopeful, like I cried after we finished recording it. And this was about a year into our our friendship, basically. Almost two. So those are my guys. We were in the trenches for a little bit because I was broke. I was a broke college student. They were broke on some like young adult shit, trying to figure their shit out. So we were, a lot of our, all of my fondest memories is us just mobbing around Hollywood, just figuring shit out and just making the best out of our situation.
When did y'all record B-Y-B-U-G-M-F?
Bitch You Got Me Fucked Up from Cowboy? When was that recorded?
That song goes crazy.
Thank you. Thank you. Honestly, that's one of my favorite, most of my, like my best production, I think. Some of my best production. When did we record that? I think, honestly, I think we recorded that at separate times. I definitely recorded my verse separately in the school studio. And I think Brian recorded their verse at home and then sent it to me. But I was like, oh, no, this shit's hard. Like, this shit works. Yeah. I believe that's what happened. I could be wrong. You might have to ask Brian on that. But yeah, that's, wow, that's, you pulled that out the fucking guts. Holy shit. Yeah, fast forward, like, we were in the trenches.
Fucking, and now y'all still chilling.
Same shit. Those are my folks, man. Like, when I have kids, like, that's going to be their uncle's type shit. Like, it's really locked in. We've been through some shit. We've seen some shit. It gets deep. I can leave it at that, though. And fast forward, like, been friends for almost 8 years in my case.
That's,
2017, so, okay, seven.
Seven, Yeah, but, so... You recorded Cowboy, then you got Knox out. last Christmas.
Yeah.
It's like 5 years in the making.
Yeah.
Working on it for a very long time. How does it feel? First of all, how does it feel to be have that finally out?
Oh, fuck, dude. Mm-hmm. It feels great.
Yeah.
It shouldn't have taken that long to come out.
Yeah, so wait, how long was Knox like in the brain?
Oh, damn, dude. I've been working on Knox for I've been working on it at the same time I was working on Cowboy, if I'm going to keep it a whole beam with you. Yeah. Wow. There's a whole secret album that doesn't sound remotely like Knox. It was called Shogun.
Shogun.
It was a whole different sound. Same color scheme. I still had the same general vision. The outfit hadn't been concepted. It was actually going to be on some Japanese like flowy, like real samurai shit.
Yeah.
And I had my sound sounded like it had a lot of Japanese elements mixed with like synth, like alternative, like I want to say like warehouse music. It was like really different. And this was like 2019. I started working on it as I was finishing up Cowboy. But then like music pivot, I started really getting into jazz chords. I've always had an ear for jazz chords. My music theory teacher told me I had an ear for jazz chords because I always did like major seventh, minor seventh chords, and I was like, okay. So I started listening to a lot of jazz music, and then that's what shaped kind of the first track, Knox. Like that was literally me. I think I stole some of those chords from some gospel YouTube video.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I'm gonna take that shit and like make my own, like did my own little like pattern or rhythm to it. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry, I'm getting sidetracked, but it took me so long, and it was actually supposed to come out 2020. It was supposed to come out 2020, 2021. That's what I had in
mind. Shogun.
Shogun. Yeah, Shogun was initially scoped out for 2021.
Okay, yeah.
But then it eventually turned into Knox, and I scrapped Shogun. Shogun has like 10 tracks, 10, 11 tracks that like maybe I'll go back to at some point.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Yeah, it was supposed to come out like 2021.
Yeah.
But in 2019, no one was ever going to foresee the fucking pandemic in 2020.
Yeah.
The pandemic fucked up a lot of shit for me. On one hand, I'm grateful because it gave me a lot of time to really sit with my music and grow with it. Like, I think what I appreciate about Knox is you can hear that I'm fairly younger in the beginning of the album, but you hear me age until like the very end. Like, you hear me go through like these phases.
Yeah.
And I started experimenting with my voice more. I sound more mature. I know exactly how I want to attack or use a certain cadence and whatnot. And I appreciate it because Knox would have sounded completely different had I gone with my initial sounding. Like I have different versions of some of those songs that looking back, I'm like, this shit would sound ass if I released it. And it's all me talking in hindsight.
Mm-hmm.
But it shouldn't have taken 5 years, but you know, some housing shit went down, some financial shit went down.
Right.
Family shit went down, the pandemic. Mm-hmm. Like it was pandemic just
crazy. Yo.
I just had to take a step back and really just like accept what was happening. I couldn't really focus on the music, to be honest. I was on the couch in Stockton for a little bit. One might argue because of my own choice, but that's a whole nother convo, I'm not gonna lie to you.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I'm fucking grateful it's out.
Yeah.
I had a whole identity crisis between 19 and I guess Knox was my release of that.
Yeah.
Wouldn't say I'm completely healed, but I had a whole identity crisis. Like, bro, people don't understand how much slavery really affects like the young Black American, bro. Like, I was like 19 and I texted my dad.
Yeah.
Where are we from? Because I literally had no idea like my heritage. Yeah. Huh?
This is during the pandemic?
Before, pre. It's 19.
Gotcha.
It's 19.
Gotcha.
I literally had no idea where we were from. I was freaking the fuck out. Because you know, I have homies who are Indian, who are Russian, who are Irish, who are Vietnamese, Korean, Japanese, whatever, Latinx. And they'd be like, oh yeah, you're talking about it and whatnot. You start feeling left out of those conversations because I'm not like, true. Oh, I'm black.
For real.
What the fuck is that? Oh, I'm African American.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Uh-huh.
I was like, oh shit.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I was like really sitting with myself like, yo, like who am I?
For real. Yeah.
And then, you know, you want to feel closer to your heritage, but like people really, it took a huge toll on me. People really don't take into account like how this affects generations later down the line.
Yeah.
And it might sound minute to other people, but this shit is like, this shit stays with you. And so I asked my dad, I texted him, mind you, like, he called me immediately, which was like weird because he didn't have to do that. He like usually never does that. But I was just like, where are we from? Without even texting me back, he just calls and goes, what's wrong? Are you okay? Like he like he'd already gone through it. He like knew exactly what I was feeling before I even really like got into what I wanted to talk about. And I was like, do you know where you're from? He's like, I don't. He's like, but just know like our family is the strongest ones because we're still here and we survived. Yeah. And I was like, fuck.
That's a trippy thing. Yeah.
I was like, fuck. And
you,
so,
Are you like, do you have connections to like your grandparents and
generations or not? Well, both of them died.
Right.
My grandfather passed away in 2019 and my grandmother actually died in December last year in 23. She died December 1st.
Gotcha.
So, I mean, you know, I had a connection with them. They did a lot, they did a lot of cool shit. My grandmother, marched and walked with Dr. King and she knew Malcolm X personally. I don't want to get too much into her lore right now, but she was crazy. My grandfather went to school with Huey Newton at one point. Wild as fuck. And my grandfather on my, these are my grandparents on my dad's side. My grandparents on my mother's side, they're still alive. I just talked to him 2 days ago. But they passed away. My grandfather is actually the one who paid for my schooling to go to Musicians Institute. R.I.P. R.I.P. James Gere. What was I talking about? We were talking about
to how you your trauma of where you're from.
Oh yeah. So outside of just my racial heritage or my nationality or ethnic background.
Yeah.
Mind you, like when you're like 19, about to be 20, you're going through a whole lot of changes. I mean, you're like, okay, like I'm 19, like I'm an adult, right? Because you know, legally, government's like, if you're 18, you're an adult. No, right, the fuck, you're not.
Yeah.
Off top. It might get controversial, but I don't even think 21-year-olds are adults. I don't even think I'm an adult right now. I'm gonna be 24 soon. It's all societal. You know, it's a societal standard and like what we abide by or whatever, social construct, whatever the fuck, right? But I was like, okay, I feel like I'm maturing, but I also feel like I'm still a kid. But then people are pulling me in these directions. I'm paying taxes, but also like. I don't have a grip on my emotions and I feel like I'm not an adult, but I'm going to work every day and I'm doing what I think is right. There's no blueprint for this shit. And so it took a whole, outside of just my racial identity, I was like, okay, am I an adult? If so, what's an adult? I started pondering. And then the pandemic didn't help that I started asking more questions because I had no choice but to see myself in my mirror every waking day. See myself on social media every day. I don't think we're supposed to just constantly be looking at ourselves.
Bro, no, that was the pandemic. I still have PTSD from that. Like it hit 4 years ago. Like, and because it's a lecture year, maybe because it's another leap year. Like it feels like a cycle. Like it, like I really kind of like, cause 2019 is when I met Adam and when I met like that group who I kind of started in college. And we dropped, cause me and Addy were in a rap group in 2019 and we dropped. I've mentioned this story on the podcast many times because I just when I started the podcast, but we dropped the second album in the rap group Society shit March 13th, 2020.
Word.
And we were planning on opening up for, I shouldn't say on camera, we were planning on opening up for a pretty big artist.
Nice.
Like 2 weeks later and then having a Boston Hip Hop Festival in April. So it was like, we kind of had that same realization. Like, fuck. Like,
word, yeah.
Yeah, no, so I definitely... Word. Feel the trauma, kind of the plans, and
dude.
Kind of,
you feel it.
It's like a trauma and like an internal crisis.
Just being in the crib all day, not knowing like what the future had in store. I was like, like we can't go outside. Like my whole job is being an entertainer. Like literally, I had a fan base because I was out. I was outside doing shows and being around. But now you're telling me like the acting shit, you're not gonna be able to do.
For real.
You know, music shit, you're not probably gonna be able to do. You better figure something else. And I was like, dude, there's nothing else I know how to do. I'm not fucking, I'm not built for manual labor, bro. Like, I'm fucking, I am not strong. I am weak. When it comes to that shit, like, I'm the man you're like, oh, go draw something, make a beat, do a little dance. Like, that's me, bro. And I'm gonna stand on that. Like, I can't do manual labor. You can call me all types of slurs or bitches or whatever. Like, it's misogynist, don't do that. Like, I don't care, bro. I'm supposed to be making shit. I was like, dude, there's nothing else for me to... I can't fucking do anything else.
I stopped the podcast during the pandemic. I did 7 Zoom episodes.
Word.
And then I was like, I don't like this. This isn't rewarding no more. Like, this isn't like going anywhere. Like, because the whole idea of the podcast is trying to like draw like to other projects.
Hell yeah.
It's like, there's no shows, no event. Like,
hell yeah.
Yeah, no.
Hell yeah.
until a year into I moved to LA. So
word. I feel like I'll be honest, like some of my best beats came from the pandemic, like they're on my hard drive, but I was like, I was so fucking sad.
No, for real.
And like you'll hear it on Knox, you'll hear me talk about the whole identity shit like that. How Knox became what it is today without going into too many details, because I still want to have some things open ended for people to appreciate. But I started thinking about what a person is and how maybe we're just like flesh vessels, essentially. We're just spirits in a human body, like trying to move throughout the universe and figure shit out. Because I started thinking to myself, like, we do a lot of weird shit as people, right? Like we follow like a script. Like when and I always say this is how it started. I started thinking about when you go to a grocery store and you ask a clerk, like, or like a clerk asks you, hey, how are you doing today? And you respond with, oh, I'm fine. How about yourself? It's like, mind you, that's being like courteous and just being like a good person. Like, I'm just responding like, yo, yeah, I'm good. Like, I'm chilling. But like, how often is someone going to be like, nah, bro, fuck this shit. Like, my fucking bills is piling up. Like, my dad just died. Like, I got a fucking car note I can't pay. Like, no one's going to go into a huge, nine times out of ten, no one's going to go into a huge, this is what's wrong with my life, and because you're either gonna hold up the line or you're gonna weird out the clerk. So they're gonna be like, so I was like, okay, why do we do that? Not trying to be pretentious or like be one of those artsy motherfuckers who just need to be so deep and I'm woke and look at me, but like I was like, yo, like, why do we do that? Why do we just fit a script? Why, like, are we always performing? Because like, that's almost like performing. Like, why aren't we being real? What's real? Oh shit, am I not real? Oh fuck, like it just became like this spiral of like, what is identity other than a collection of other people's personalities that I've started to like piece together and make my own? I was like, oh shit, like I'm always performing. What if I'm always in a costume? What if I'm, what if Jaden doesn't really exist? I mean, cause my name is just something my mom decided to name me. Like, take that away from me, who am I? And that's when I made the switch from Simon Vertigo to Jaden Dante Gear. Cause I was like, if there's, there's any way I can get closer to like who I am, what better than my, my government name? Like, this is who I am. This is as close as it's gonna get. As close as I can make it. But you know, I just started really pondering that, and that's and that's how the, I guess the huge premise of Knox came to be.
And it seems very like, you know, it's a very conceptual piece. How did you kind of like curate with the like little interludes, the kind of I'm sure it took a long time to just kind of
Because I care a lot about, people say I'm a perfectionist. I don't know how true that is. They might be right. I don't know. I can't determine that for myself, to be honest. But I do care a lot about the work that I do. So even if like fucking five people hear it, I try to make sure.
Let me fix that real quick.
If y'all don't know, Easy's phone has low battery.
My phone got low battery. It's all good though.
So is it still recording?
Yeah, it's still recording. No, which one?
Okay. So I care a lot about like the like the intricate details and shit. If you really listen to Knox, I did so much shit that like a lot of people might appreciate or nobody might ever hear. I wanted to make the album. I'm about to get into it. So if people find this later, they'll have the answers. But I wanted to make an album that was basically like a three act play, a three act narrative. I wanted to have everything work in repetition and it repeats itself. And I like by musical motifs, like a lot of my chords are like, like three chord progressions. I'd have, I had some of my, you know, associates or my peers who were on featured on the album repeat something more than once. Like if you really listen to every song, you'll hear someone at least
Arlena repeats
like things. NC repeats something. I didn't even tell Brett to do that. Kaivani repeats some shit. I repeating shit all throughout the album. The album starts and ends the same way. Like it's like I wanted to make sure that that was conveyed, because that's just how, that's how life is. I learned that life is literally yin and yang, like you can't have the positives without the negatives. I learned that everything works in circles. It might not be as profound as people think, but I think it's true, man. Like the world keeps rotating. The sun comes up, it goes down, right? We live, we die, we eat, we shit, we love, we hurt. Like it's like everything is just a circle. Like the wheels on our car go like this. Yeah. When you walk, you go like this. It's like everything is a fucking, is a loop.
Yeah.
So I wanted to make you feel like that. I also have a bad problem with beating myself up.
Yeah.
Like if you look at the cover, if you look real closely, like I have like this fake black eye.
Right, yeah.
You know, like the whole album, I'm basically beating myself up. And then when you get to the end, it's like, ah, I figured it out. Like I'm supposed to like love myself and think happy thoughts and I got to be better. I got to, but then when the album ends, it just starts again.
Right.
And that's just the nature of it, man. Like, and I wanted to convey that in every single song. I wanted to make it feel like, okay, I'm figuring it out. But then we know, at the base, bro, we never really figure it out. And you have to come to peace with that. Mm-hmm. It's okay. At some points, I think it's okay to live in that cycle. Uh-huh. But it shouldn't tear away at you. You should mm-hmm. really just accept that. And I'm still learning that till today. Like, still.
Yeah. So, yeah. I got some specific moments on the album.
Okay.
I want to. What inspired the, like, chef?
Oh, fuck.
I didn't expect to have some chef stuff when I heard it. I was like,
oh man, Chef cooking up the worst recipe.
Yeah,
that song was actually supposed to be that wasn't the original sound of Shogun.
Gotcha.
That was supposed to be on Shogun. Gotcha. I kept that. Gotcha. That's like five. That song's like 5 years old almost. Wow.
Yeah. Okay. I kind of figured that was. Like,
yeah. Chef came from the way I'm always concocting or cooking up really bad thoughts in my head. Like I have really, really dark ideas, and I blame myself a lot, and I don't give myself any grace. Yeah. And I think we as people should be a little bit more empathetic and understanding to everyone. Uh-huh. Now, I understand that's not going to work for certain cases. Some people are just god awful, and I understand.
Yeah.
But then I think there's a lot of nuance in life, and Chef came from trying to find that. I think I reference, there's a line in there where I'm like, on the 7 I'm cooking up, on the 7 I'm it was like, I forgot the line in particular. I'm drawing a blank, but it was something referencing like damaged relationships, because I've damaged like interpersonal relationships just because I was young, naive, or like I didn't know what I was doing, and I wasn't equipped with the tools to navigate a certain situation without being overly emotional and not having your grip on, not a grip on myself and like being able to connect myself properly. Now I'm better now.
Yeah.
But yeah, Chef was literally just that. And the beginning part where it's like a bunch of me's like almost in like a kitchen, like arguing, kind of like on some, people reference the bear.
Yeah, I was like,
yeah, there was,
that's what I was thinking.
I had that idea before the bear even existed, but.
The Yes Chef.
Yeah, yeah.
That's funny.
Like I had that idea.
That's what they do. That's how they
like, exactly. But I didn't incorporate that until literally like, I think 4 weeks before the album was due. I was like, no, I'm gonna add that shit in the front, because at first it was literally just sound, and you can hear like the sautéing of onions slowly fade in. But yeah, that's where Chef came from.
Yeah, and you got a lot of homies, a lot of guests on who are from fake radio shows. It's Frozen, Arlena, NC17, Kaivani. How'd you kind of meet? That's probably a lot of long stories, but
I don't want your phone to die.
Nah. That it's all good. If it dies,
fuck it. We still got
we still got the audio.
Yeah, fuck it. Yeah,
no. We can do as long as you want.
How I met them is actually a wild story.
Did you meet all of them like individually, or like did you? Because I know Kaivani and NC17 met through college. I know.
Yeah,
Arlena met you at a show, right?
Oh yeah, we got lore. All right,
get ready,
buddy.
Yeah.
So when I went to Musicians Institute in 2018, remember that guy I mentioned that I don't talk to no more, who was on the Bleach Sun album?
Yeah.
Mel Nixon. Hope you're doing good. But we met in school. He was like the only other black kid that I met in Musicians Institute, and we connected instantly. We were really fucking funny together. NJ, NC, was a close friend of Bro, was a close friend of Mel Nixon.
Okay.
And I first met NC17 in 2018 at CalArts, because he was attending CalArts.
Okay,
he graduated from CalArts.
Yeah, right.
So
yeah,
in 2018, we're all freshmen at the time. We're all the same age, right? Mel Nixon hits me and was like, yo, you want to go to my friend's show in CalArts? You've been to CalArts? And I was like, nah, but I'm down to go. Mel had a car. I didn't have no fucking car. I don't have a license. I'm a hop in, let's go. Met NC that night.
Yeah.
And I also met Kaivani that night for the first time. Didn't really connect with them.
Were they cool with Cho at the time too? Because I know.
Oh, I'm pretty sure they were. I can't remember. I didn't meet Cho. Yeah. I didn't meet Cho until 2021.
Gotcha.
So So I met them that night. NC was shirtless.
Okay.
They had makeup on. Kaivani was doing his little pretty boy shit. I barely remember. He was pretty quiet, but I remember having makeup on. At one point, I got shirtless because I was wild. I'm always wild.
Yeah.
But I was wilding. We was just running through the dorms and shit like that, just mm-hmm. screaming and being annoying, like fucking children.
Yeah.
But that's when I first met them.
Yeah.
Mel was working on his first album called Hunted Heroes 3 yeah. and was working on like filming and shit.
Uh-huh.
And we drove to the IE to go meet up with like Dylan, Brian. I met Jado Ado for the first time through yeah. Mel Nixon.
Yeah.
And there was also Stone. Mel met Stone at Musicians Institute.
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, I was with NC and then some other guy, I can't remember his name. Yeah. But that's like another instance where we like kind of linked up. And then.
And then to bring it back to how'd the song Misfortune come about with y'all?
Ooh.
Now, yeah.
Last minute as fuck.
Last minute as fuck. Okay.
Last minute as fuck.
But I can tell because you mentioned you were into the indie music. I could tell because when I heard that song, I was like, ooh, because I never really heard like a song like that. Like that.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Okay. So because I understand that people have like TikTok brain.
Yeah.
And I like making long shit. Like I like long LPs. I like hour long shit.
Uh-huh.
I realized that my album, while the purpose was for it to sound repetitive dude, like, this is depressing. Like, this is sad. I'm just stuck. Like, it never gets better.
Yeah.
There was, like, one point in the album I was like, something needs to switch up. It's too sad.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I have shit like Ill Intentions. Yeah, we got Knox, which is like, you come into this world, but there is no, like, I'm not angry yet. Like, I've been disappointed. Yeah. I've been sad. Uh-huh. I've been, I'm crying. Like, I have all this shit, but where's my explosion? I said that loosely because I'm not doing nothing too crazy on Misfortune, but I was like, fuck it. Boom, 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 boom. Like, this is just going to be my like little blow-up song, Misfortune. Yeah. I thought it was a funny play on words, like Misfortune. It's like, unfortunate. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Maybe personified as a woman. Maybe he's a bad woman with bad intentions. Yeah. And like literally, like if you listen to albums, it's so like beat you over the head.
Yeah.
And that's how it came to be. I was like, yo, I want Kaivani on this. Yeah. Showed NJ. NJ sent me a video recording of him like doing his own thing over it, and I was like, what the fuck? I'm like, nah, send me your verse right now. I'm gonna put it on the album. It took him fucking forever to send me the stems, but that's how that came together. Super last minute. I made that song middle of 23.
Gotcha. So that's one of the later songs?
Late as fuck.
Real? Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Late. Yeah. Most recent song I made for the album, actually.
Wow, okay. Yeah. All right. And then a song I fuck with is the beat switch up on Guts when it gets into the like the introspective.
Oh, like the,
yeah. How'd that song come about? How'd you kind of get into that?
So I do this thing where I'll just record, a lot of musicians do it, but I do this thing where I record voice memos of just random ideas.
Yeah.
And if you listen to Everlasting and you listen to Gut, I say the starting line, it's the same line. It's something messing with my spirit and I feel it in my...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So I recorded a demo to like Gut in like 21. I think I was in Stockton at the time. It was like 21.
Gotcha.
I was on the couch in Stockton. I just recorded like... I made like a little shitty beat on FL, recorded that. And while I was working on the album, this was like a couple years later, I listened to the voice memo. I was like, nah, this is great. This also plays on the repetitive thing. Like I can reference Everlasting here. And it's like towards the later half of the album. Cool, I'll do that. Gut. I experienced something that I still can't explain to this day. This is going to get into it. This is really going to get into it.
Yeah.
I was doing a lot of meditation in Stockton. I just needed to clear my mind. And I was better at it when I was younger, but the pandemic really like halted a lot of my meditative practices. And I'm not trying to make excuses for myself. I literally just couldn't find time. There's just so much noise. But I remember meditating on the couch and it felt my forehead started getting tingly and I felt my eyes kind of vibrating. Uh-huh. I went into like this deep, peaceful state.
Mm-hmm.
Where it felt like my third eye opened. I hate talking like that because then I sound like the people who just carry all these jewels and gems and shit like that and real like earthy. I'm very spiritually connected, but I'm not like earthy as fuck, man. Yeah, like I look at the world at face value and I take it for what it is and I appreciate it.
Yeah.
But this, I cannot explain what the fuck happened till this day. Uh-huh. I have no idea what this was.
Yeah.
But it felt like my third eye was opening, like my my forehead was vibrating.
Yeah.
But it didn't hurt. It felt like someone was massaging my my temples.
Gotcha.
And I felt like I could see the space, like the space that the globe is circulating in. I feel like I could see that, and there was like this yellow being. It was like this, whatever entity this was taking the shape of a person.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna call her she, because she had a woman's voice.
Yeah.
But she was like crawling through the space, trying to reach my forehead, and she was like reaching to touch me.
Yeah.
And like I couldn't see her eyes, I couldn't see her mouth. It was like this, just imagine yellow light and like the shape of a woman, but you could just see like the space in between her eyes. Like you see stars, like it's black in between her mouth and her eye. Uh-huh. She's reaching for my forehead, and she said, "Be afraid, not my child." And like, mind you, my eyes are closed, and I felt myself like on the couch rising. And then I got too scared, and then it seemed like she was pulling back into the space, and I opened my eyes and I was just crying. Wow. Till this day, I have no idea what the fuck that was. Uh-huh. It could have been my guardian angel. It could be the personification of God, Mother Earth, whatever you want to call it. Till this day, I have not been able to reach this being or entity, and I can't tell you if that was my creative mind playing tricks on me or that actually happened. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to have the answer. That's okay. But that is where gut came from. Something messing with my spirit, and I feel it in my gut.
Yeah.
Universal signals sent me something. What the fuck? Yeah. Open Pino got my intuition on a mission. I've been tripping. Can't explain these feelings. I've been feeling like a trillion people been watching me. Right. Like, that's where gut came from.
Yeah.
And fun fact, Arlena, who does basically the voiceover for the entire album, I wanted her to be the personification of that.
Okay, I was going to ask.
That's where that comes from.
That's who she's playing. Okay.
She's playing the spirit guy.
Gotcha.
Super last minute shit, but that happened in 2021. I didn't meet Arlena until 22.
Yeah.
So,
and how'd you meet? You met her at a show?
Oh, yeah. So I did this. There was like this show that my homie Trey from Betray the Hype. I wear all of his fucking hoodies. If you'll probably see it on my Instagram. I probably wore them like I always buy his shit. Shout out Betray the Hype, man.
Shout out.
Trey was putting on a show, knew I made music, was like, hey, want you to do a show? It's in June. And it was literally the day before my 22nd birthday.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, for sure. Fuck yeah. Uh-huh. And this was June 4th. 2022.
Yeah.
Arlena is there with one of her homegirls. They were just out, just, you know, trying to find, like, it was like a black centric thing, like black vendors, like
gotcha.
Black, you know, clothing designers, musicians, whatever. Uh-huh. I performed that day. After my set, I'm like hanging out with my boys. We're around the corner outside, like just chopping up next to the vendors.
Yeah.
Arlena and her girlfriend come up to me and are like, hey, you had like a really good set. Like, that was awesome, you know, like, I love your production. And I was like, oh, like, I appreciate it. Like, thank you. Because not a lot of people come up to me, tell me about my production chops and shit like that. Like, it happens, but super rare. Either people are, like, nervous or they just don't feel like it's necessary to put their input or opinion. But, you know, she approached me. It was just like, her and her friend Yasmin, they approached me. It was like, yo, we love your music. We love to work with you at some point.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, shit. Like, fuck yeah. Because it goes back a little bit, but 2021... NJ and I briefly talked about making music together at this thing called a walk-in. We were going to rent out an Airbnb and make music.
Many folks have mentioned on the show the
lock-in. Yeah, the lock-in. Yeah. So you already got the lure pretty much at that point.
But you organized it, right?
I was the first person to talk about it with NJ.
We just mentioned it in passing,
but he was like, no, let's do it. Like, I'm going to, like, we should do it.
Uh-huh.
I was in Stockton. We were FaceTiming one day. Yeah. I was like, yo, we got to cook. We got to make something.
Yeah.
And then I was like, he was either here or me, but I just briefly but casually mentioned, like, yo, what if we just, like, rented out a fucking, like, Airbnb or, like, a mansion and just made music? I was, like, low-key joking.
Yeah.
But NJ was, like, dead serious. He was like, no, are you down? Like, let's do it. And I was like, I was like, you're serious?
Yeah.
Like, he's like, yeah, if you're down, I'm like, yo, I'm down to go to LA and do that shit. Like, fuck yeah. And I thought he was just like, gonna just say it in passing, like it wasn't really gonna happen. Mm-hmm. But then he was like, yo, like, I'm putting together the thing. Do you wanna show up? And I was like, yo, at the time I had no money. I was like, look, man, like, I'm down to go, but like, I can't really pay for a fucking ticket to LA right now. Even though I'm in California, that shit was still gonna run me like 200 something bucks. He was like, bro, I need you here. Like, I'll pay for your ticket. Just come.
Yeah.
Like, if you can just, you know, figure out like the airport or whatever, like, I'll get you here. You need to come out here. Cause I, was the ticket? No, sorry. It was my spot for the Airbnb. That was pricey.
Yeah.
I think I paid for my ticket. Might have to ask Andrew. I can't remember. He had to pay for something. All I know is that he got me for something.
Yeah.
And I owe, bro. But that first night, that first lock-in, sorry, is when I met everybody officially. I actually got introduced to Kai Bonnie for real that time.
Gotcha.
When I actually got introduced to Chosen, there's a video when I first met him. Like, we actually introduced each other.
That's crazy. Yeah.
I've known Joe for years.
Right. But he was there too?
Yeah, Joe went to the first. Joe Uska. We met in San Jose in 2018. Right, it was just the music scene at the time. Yeah. So met Joe a long time ago. Joe showed up. I was like, okay. Of course, I already knew Dylan and Brian.
Yeah.
They were invited.
Gotcha.
And so it's starting to come together, right? Like, all the homies kind of just started forming like Voltron. Fast forward 2022, when I met Arlena.
Yeah.
She was like, yeah, we want to work with you. Like, your music is dope. Mm-hmm. Like, your production is really cool. And I was like, thank you. I was like, actually, me and the homie NJ are doing this thing called the lock-in.
Yeah.
I was like, we did it last year, but we learned that we need more like female identifying folk to come because we need like a difference in like voice and
gotcha.
Presence. We were like, we have some women who were down, but then they ended up just like ghosting us. But if you guys are down, like I can ask NJ and then, like we can get y'all set up. Also, I'm like, I'm pretty sure he'd be down to give y'all a discount since it's so last minute. Because for the lock-in, you're putting in, for your spot, you're putting like $350, and that's included for the Airbnb itself and plus food.
Yeah.
So you're just set for the full week you're there.
Right.
So I'm like, yo, like low key, like we could have you and your homegirl like to split the cost of one ticket, and you guys have a room.
Yeah.
And I was like, I can ask bro about that though. NJ was there. I asked NJ. I was like, yo, like this is, you know, this is Arlena and like Yasmin. Like they said they like fuck with my shit. I told them about the lock-in. We said we needed some more female talent. Yeah. And then it was like, oh, yeah, for sure. You know, it was like, oh, yeah, for sure. No, I'd love to have you guys. Yeah. And that's how it happened.
So you've done two lock-in?
Yeah. We didn't do one in 2023. Just bad timing.
Yeah.
A lot of shit happened. Yeah. Maybe we'll do it this year. I have no idea.
Maybe. Yeah. Okay. And then, I think then I interviewed Arlena for the first time, like right after the lock-in.
So okay. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Because that was July?
Yeah, okay, yeah, because then I met Arlena in August, and then we did the pod in September. So
got you. Okay, so yeah, August. Yeah, okay. Yeah, the timeline's making sense.
Cool, cool. All right, yeah. So it's all coming together. Mm-hmm. No, I fuck with the group that y'all got, because, like, me and Adam, we had, like, a group back in the day. In
Boston, word.
So I always felt like, when I met y'all, I was like, oh, it's, like, it's similar to, like...
For sure, man, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, that's how Guts came in. Let me see what else I got. Oh yeah, I feel like you, as you can probably tell from this interview, you're a huge hip hop head.
Dude, love hip hop. Yeah, what's crazy though is I still gotta do my homework, bro. I'm a huge hip hop head, but I'm not gonna sit here and prove like I'm the geek and know all of like everything hip hop. Like there's hip hop is so deep that.
Yeah.
There's still so much info that if you ask me right now, bro, I'm probably not going to be able to tell you the answers you're looking for. We got Google and Docs for that shit. But huge hip-hop head. Fucking love hip-hop.
For real,
raised on the shit.
I'm slowly starting to accept that I am like a huge hip-hop. Like, I used to be like, oh, I'm going to just defer to like other people. And then I was like, I realized like later in my, like back when me and Addy were in the rap group, I was like, oh, I'm going to just defer to like other people. Like, da da. But then I realized, like, I think I'm, like, the one that knows
That really sometimes it be like that, bro.
But I feel like I've noticed that you really, like, develop your, like, flows and you have, like, a pitch and you're, like, timbre and, like, because I see sometimes you have, like, a raspier voice. Sometimes I'm, like, is that Jaden, like, right now rapping? Like, you know.
Dude.
So what, like, kind of how do you describe your methods for, like, developing your flows, developing your like... The way you say shit.
I'm annoying. Really fuck with that. Well, thank you. I'm annoying. I'm really fucking annoying.
Yeah.
I gotta get better at this, but honestly, first off, the homies. Yeah. The homies inspire me to push myself to do better. The locking helped me really experiment my voice. For a while, I didn't like the way I sounded on my shit. It always sounded like I'm just talking.
Mm-hmm.
And then at some point, I think it was like during the second lock-in, like I was hopping on, I was like, fuck it, this year I'm gonna just do a bunch of random shit.
Yeah, are the lock-ins where like the ciphers happens?
Yeah, like the big posse cuts. Like we'd have
brains and then
brains. And then, fuck, that's a deep fuck. Yeah, you did the research. Yeah, fuck,
I asked who was chosen about brains.
Okay.
Yeah. And then the block, which is where I think that's maybe when I first heard you is on.
Yeah, wow, because
I remember Arlena.
Yeah. That's where they came from.
Yeah, they came. They were in the low. Okay, got you. Got
yeah,
you.
And I really appreciate you being like, oh yeah, is that Jaden? Because that I get that a lot now. Uh-huh. Like if I hop on something, I'll hit a certain pocket that's completely left the center of what I usually do.
Yeah,
and then people, it's hard for even the homies to even try to like replicate what I do or like mimic me because I'm never consistent with anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess my experimentation comes from like who was really good at it and he's only gotten better with his career is Kendrick Lamar.
Yeah.
Studying the way he does, like especially during To Pimp a Butterfly, I was like, oh, he's on a different
Think
about it being tired. Crazy, like a title and mastered shit. Like I was like, okay, that's cool. Fuck it, I'm gonna do that. Like, I'm very goofy, bro. Like, I'm annoying as fuck. Like, I make little voices like this and I'm talking to people. Bro, and, like, it's stupid. I was like, I think the second lock-in, I was like, I was cracking the code as to why I didn't like hearing myself. Other people didn't mind the way I sounded, but me, I was like, nah, something doesn't feel like I'm cutting through. And I made this one song called This Away at the lock-in. It's unreleased, but I did this thing where I tried to replicate Old Dirty Bastard because I thought it was funny.
Yeah.
I was like, it's the nappy black bastard, none of my tell his master. But I'm rapping and it's hard as fuck.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah.
And that's when and you can ask Kaivani about it. I don't know if he mentioned it, but he remembers like being in the room and seeing me like in the booth evolve right then and there. Like, oh shit, like I figured it out. Like I was like, I don't sound like myself because I'm not acting like myself. I'm trying to be something I'm not. Uh-huh. And I make stupid fucking voices. I'm goofy. I'm annoying. I'm hilarious.
Yeah.
I'm just going to make that cut through the music. So every time, and it might not work in all cases and scenarios. Like, I'm not always trying to be funny. Like, on Knox, I'm not trying to be funny at all.
Right.
But you'll hear me experiment, like, Ill Intentions.
Right.
That song.
Yeah, that's the one I was just about. Because I was like, is that shit? Like, who's like.
No, I despise a motherfucker that just talk a lot. That has an older rendition. That song is like 2 years old.
Yeah.
The first version, I didn't like the way my voice sounded.
Uh-huh.
So then I tried it again. Mm-hmm. I actually rewrote a verse for that. I rewrote like both of the verses I made, Ill Intentions, the final version.
Yeah.
Complete rewrites. Uh-huh. I was like, nah, fuck it. I'm not going crazy enough. Mm-hmm. I need to go harder. I need to just experiment. And that's how that was born. I had Michael re-record Chosen. I had Chosen re-record his vocals because they weren't as quality. We recorded at the homie Brandon's house.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And so that was like 2 years in the making. Like, I'm the person who just sits on shit. Yeah, like, it needs to be. Okay, maybe I'm a perfectionist. Fuck. I need to sit. Like, I will sit with something for 2 years and revisit it and be like, no, this is hard. We're doing this.
Uh-huh.
And it ends up being really, really good at the end.
Yeah.
And that's, that's where that came from.
Gotcha.
Long-winded as fuck, but that's where
gotcha.
The experimentation of my voice came from.
Yeah. And I got to ask about the song. Stuck in my head all the time is Tick Tick Boom.
Oh,
yeah. What's the story of that song? How long has that song been in the
God? Okay. That song is also like 2 years old.
Yeah.
Poindexter.
Mm-hmm.
That song, I think that, correct me if I'm wrong, because my mind is all over the place, but I think Poindexter comes right before Tick Tick Boom, right?
Yeah.
Poindexter initially had another version of it where I am like harmonizing myself with ooze. It's like, ooh.
Yeah.
I sampled that, put that in Tick Tick Boom, the OG versions.
Yeah.
And I sampled it. So the same beat pattern you hear in the current Tick Tick Boom, I overlaid that over a sample of my ooze.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had an older verse for it. I didn't like it.
Yeah.
Sat on it for like a year.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, nah, fuck it. I scrapped that whole version of Tick Tick Boom.
Yeah.
Scrapped that old version of Poindexter. Uh-huh. I used the same beat pattern that you hear in Tick Tick Boom.
Uh-huh.
I played these chords out.
Yeah.
I was like, ooh, this is nice. I put some isotope vinyl on it, made it crunchy sounding, made it sound dark.
Yeah.
Had that boom bap feel from like the 90s. I was kind of digging. I was like, okay, it's cool.
Yeah.
I felt like at the time, because I was turning, fuck. Oh, yeah. I felt, okay, cool.
Uh-huh.
I felt like at the time, cause I was recording in a span of like 21 up until 23.
Yeah.
I felt like I was running out of time, bro.
Uh-huh.
My thing is I worry a lot about the mistakes I make, how many I can make. And if there's a cutoff point to where if you're a certain age, like you're not allowed to make these mistakes anymore because you're a grown ass man.
Yeah.
It really fucked with me, bro. Cause I can't, it's a lot of personal shit I really can't speak about.
Yeah.
I gotta keep private, but I allude to a lot of shit in Tick Tick Boom that like people can put two and two together or like interpret in their own ways.
Yeah.
I am terrified of getting older because I think we live in an age, we live in an age where, you know, everyone's broadcasting themselves. Right. And if you fuck up, like, everyone's gonna know if you're a public or if a public figure or celebrity. And there's no grace, man. Like, there's no, you get chastised for making a decision. You can say some shit you said. You can, someone could pull up some shit you said in 2013 and think you still hold those ideals 10 years later because in the on the internet, there is no time differentiation.
Yeah.
It's, I'm seeing this as it's coming out or it's right here in my face. So therefore, that's how you felt. Could you imagine every negative thought or worst thing you've ever did been broadcasted online?
Yeah.
That would ruin me. Bro, I'd be we'd all be canceled.
Yeah.
I don't care what anyone says. We'd all be fucking canceled.
Yeah, no, exactly.
And so I the biggest fear outside of like getting older was also just being judged.
Yeah.
I was like, dude, like everything you've ever done, you're a piece of shit. I started feeling real guilty for every action or inaction that I've done or not done. Or I should have, like, I start thinking about everything that I've ever done and I start feeling like a really bad person, start wallowing, self-loathing, soaking. And Tick Tick Boom, it's like out of time.
Yeah.
Right. You're out of time. Yeah, like every time I'm like, okay, I'm going to figure it out. I'm going to figure it out. Nope. You're out of time. Clock's ticking.
Yeah.
You're getting there. Mm-hmm. I'm not a kid anymore, but I'm not an adult, but you're going to get there at some point.
Uh-huh.
By the way, when you get there, you're out of time to act like a child. You have to grow the fuck up.
Yeah.
But does the clock determine that? What's the clock? Is time even real? Is it relative? Right. I don't know.
Uh-huh.
I have no idea.
Yeah.
And that's one of my best songs I've ever written because it's so raw.
Yeah.
I rewrote that track. I think I sat in my room for like an hour rewriting every line. I was like, every line I was writing hit.
Mm-hmm.
And I just kept rehearsing it the way I like, the pitch inflection, the way I did it. That whole song's one take.
Gotcha.
The chorus isn't because I had to layer, but the verse itself is one take. Other than like, oh, okay, there's one line. I think it's what line was it? I forgot. There's a line in there I had to dub over because I didn't like the way it sounded initially. But that song is one take, and I'm emotional on it. While I was recording, I was like tearing up.
Yeah, no, it's an emotional because
it's so that is the rawest I think I've ever been on a track outside of Brains. Brains is like hard, but I'm talking about sad shit on that too.
Yeah.
Tick Tick Boom. I was just afraid, bro. I'm afraid of being judged. Uh-huh. Like, I'll keep it a bean. And it's ironic when you're a musician because you're putting your whole shit out there.
Yeah.
Once you put yourself on wax and it's out there in the world, bro. Uh-huh. And Cavani said it to me a lot. He talked about this a bunch, but it's not yours anymore. It's them. It's theirs.
Yeah.
It's for them to take, digest, and come up to their own conclusions of like what this means, who you are. And you have to accept that. And that's hard. As a musician, bro, as an entertainer, I have to get used to being judged.
Uh-huh.
But I think it gets concerning when you're blending, okay, my artistry with my personal life.
Yeah.
Now it's like I'm allowing the world to speak and project any insecurities or ideas or ideals onto me.
Yeah.
But they're not separating that I'm also a person. They're like, this is a musician.
Yeah.
This is an actor.
Exactly.
This is a designer.
Uh-huh.
That shit gets real murky, bro.
Yeah,
and that shit's terrifying. Uh-huh. That shit scares the fuck out of me.
Yeah.
So, Tick Tick Boom, I'm terrified.
Yeah,
the whole song.
No, for real. No,
literally, what's the first line? What's the worth of all your words if you don't even trust yourself?
Yeah, exactly.
Fucking crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Word. A few more questions real quick. If you want to reveal, what was the idea behind the like suit and the trench coat?
Oh shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've already kind of exposed this on my Instagram.
Yeah.
But, I'd hella bit that shit off of Donald Glover.
Right.
During the, because the internet, one of my favorite albums of all time. If you look at the Knox cover, it's literally me stealing his face, just staring off into the camera.
Who took that photo?
Lionel Tyler Parenchief, my boy, photographer, videographer from San Jose. San Jose,
he did all the all the album art. He did.
Yeah, I had him. Yeah. I had him shoot everything. I was like, I want to get a black man paid. You're my boy.
Yeah.
I want you to shoot the cover, the back cover. If you have the physical, you have the back cover.
Yeah.
All the promotional material.
Yeah.
There's an older version of the album cover that we shot in 2022 that I was like, we're gonna scrap because I didn't have dreadlocks. I've always when I saw myself working on Knox, I always pictured myself with dreadlocks. And at the time, there's a version of the cover I have an afro. And I was like, nah, I got to sit for at least another year or two on the album itself because I need to make sure the album cover makes sense.
Yeah.
But how the outfit came to be was I was on Instagram in 2019.
Yeah.
5 fucking years ago, dude. Uh-huh. I'm on Instagram. And there was like this account that was dedicated to like old neo-futuristic, like Blade Runner-esque paintings, like for people from like the 60s and 70s. Like people would like paint this shit of how they thought the 2000s were gonna look like.
Yeah.
It's very like Blade Runner, very cyberpunk, very like neo-futuristic.
Yeah.
And I seen this photo, I can show you after too. This photo by Dean Ellis, or not, sorry, not photo, painting by Dean Ellis. It's called The Proud Robot. Proud Robot, The Proud Robot by Dean Ellis.
Okay, yeah.
1975?
Uh-huh.
I think it's 1975.
Okay.
1975. Mm-hmm. And it's this man who's in this red tie. Like, he's wearing a coat. It's not a trench coat, but it might be. I don't know. He's sitting like this. Mm-hmm. But he's wearing this coat, and he's just looking at a robot that seems to be, like, either cleaning or dusting or fanning him.
Yeah.
And that silhouette was fire. He had black pants, had the white button-up tucked into it. He had the red tie, like, the same shade damn near, like, that blood orange almost. He's wearing, like, that tan coat. And I was like, oh, that's fire.
Yeah.
I was like, that shit is so gas. I'm gonna steal that.
Yeah.
I was like, because I was like, it plays on the being a character. So right. I was like, when the album rollout starts, I'm gonna just go on my Instagram. Every time I post, I'm gonna be in that fucking outfit.
Yeah.
People gonna be like, what the fuck is this? I'm a character. I'm a character the whole time. Bruh. It's kind of blatant, but I took that from Donald Glover because the internet rollout. He was doing that character called The Boy, who always wore that hat and the coat. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, oh, that's fire. Like, he's having an identity crisis. I'm having an identity crisis. Yeah. I'm about to steal that shit. Uh-huh. So that's, Knox is my because of the internet.
There we go.
And that's where that came from.
Love it. All right. What is a Night of Eyes?
Okay.
That's because that's what you release both of your projects under.
Yeah.
Night of Eyes, yeah.
Night of Eyes Records. Night Magazine. Night of Eyes.
Night.
It's fucking tatted here in Japanese.
Oh shit. Okay,
night.
Yeah.
So that's funny as fuck. Cause when I was in high school, I made this idea of this brand in my head when I was like 16. It initially was gonna be like and it still is, but it was gonna be like this website in my head for like all things Jaden Dante gear, my videos, my interviews, my podcast, I made a magazine for it.
Yeah.
Like it was going to be like a skateboard, like for like skateboarders, it was going to be a whole thing.
Yeah.
And what it represents is the creator's or artist's vision for their craft or their artwork.
Yeah.
The night came from this Earl Sweatshirt song called Night from Doors.
That's my favorite song.
Yeah. I love the way it was spelled.
Uh-huh.
And at one point I was like, night. What if I'm a knight of eyes? Like I imagine like this knight in shining armor fighting to protect their craft.
Yeah.
That's all that knight of eyes represents to me. That. Like these eyes are the gateway to the soul and they're terrifying. Sometimes I can't make eye contact with people for too long because I feel myself like falling into them. And so I believe eyes are really powerful.
Yeah.
And I believe that we should always be fighting for, you know, our artistic integrity and like striving to always create and protect that.
Uh-huh.
That's all that Night of Eyes is.
Gotcha.
That's my hub for everything that's all me because, you know, I told you earlier, like, I've done the animation thing.
Yeah.
Like, illustrating, directing.
Right. Yeah.
Like, there's a short film coming out for Knox. Coming out in April.
Yeah.
I was literally about to post a promo for it, like, tomorrow.
Right.
So, what's today's date? Today's the...
It's the 21st.
21st,
and
yeah.
It's probably going to come out...
late April.
This episode's going to come out in, like, a few days, yeah.
But the short film should be coming out late April. I'm planning for April 27th.
Uh-huh.
But, fuck, I'm going to check it out. That's all that Night of Eyes represents to me, man. Like, eyes are so powerful. I want to protect that. And that's the hub for everything that's Jaden Dante gear. I do so much shit, man.
Yeah, man. Yeah, for sure.
I'm a knight, man.
You see it. Yeah,
you're a knight. Yeah, everyone's a knight. Everyone who's an artist is a knight of eyes, bro.
Hell yeah. And so...
Unless you're blind, then I guess you're not.
Hey.
That's okay.
Hey, you know, yeah. But so we have a game, collab game. Choose one person who you have not worked with yet, who you know personally who you want to work with, call them out. And then one person, like, dream collab, who you don't know, who you...
One person I know personally who I haven't collabed with. Can I make a list or is it just one person?
You can go however you want with it, yeah. Mention multiple people.
Well, fuck. I owe Adam your verse.
Oh, yeah.
The homie Addy, baby.
Bro, you and Addy, like, every time I hear your, like, music, I'm always like, bro.
I know, bro.
And y'all got the same birthday, too.
Stop.
Oh, hold up. Wait, when's your birthday?
June 5th.
Yeah, uh-huh, yeah.
Are you fucking serious?
Wait, you didn't know that? Oh, that's dope that I told you that you found that out on my show.
Wait, yeah. Are you fucking dead serious right now?
Yeah, y'all got the exact same. He told me that, so I don't know how he... Wait, June 5th, what year?
2000.
Yep, yeah, that's... Mm-hmm, yeah.
Stop playing with me, bro.
On the same day.
Yeah. Are you dead ass?
Yeah.
I don't think I knew his birthday.
You didn't... That's so funny. How did he
know?
How did he know that? He told me that. We were hanging out, like, at, like, one day, like, and he was like, yeah, I'm really excited to work with Jaden. We got the same birthday. I was like, oh, shit, you got the same birthday.
Wait, what?
Because we know other people who... have Adamir's same birthday, so it was like funny that you.
Yo, there's no way. That's
wild. And then I told. Yeah, I think I'm. Yeah, that's so funny. You figured that. Yeah,
dude, what?
Birthday, yeah,
I don't remember. Y'all did I tell him that? I might have in past. I honestly can't remember now, bro. My TikTok brain is fucked up. Like it's hard for me to retain information. Yeah, it's bad. So I'm like trying to put down the phones and shit. But that's crazy. But yeah, Adamir, I owe you a fucking verse, dog. Yeah, I'm so sorry. He sent me
y'all
some
gotta,
shit.
Y'all gotta lock in
a while ago.
With the studio session or something.
Well, we might be able to figure some shit out tomorrow if he's free.
Tomorrow?
I'm off of work.
LOL. I invited him to something. But no, but yeah, y'all should. Yeah. I'll try to pull up if I can. Yeah, no.
Okay. Sure. Fuck. Okay. That's crazy. But yeah, Adamir, I already know his shit is fire. Yes, I've heard some of his songs.
Bro, literally, what you were saying about Knox, I don't know if you've heard his first album. I had a whole
interview. Oh, was it the blue one?
Yeah, the blue one. Yeah. I'm a bad manager. I don't know if I'm spacing on the name.
I'm bad with names.
I interviewed about it, but it's similar concept.
Yeah, we were talking about it at the party last time I was here.
Yeah.
We was outside talking about that.
And the 14-19. Yeah.
Fuck yeah. Crazy.
Similar, yeah.
That's so similar, crazy.
Y'all got similar production. Yeah, no, so y'all definitely got
it. I already know we're going to fuck with each other. We already do, but like when it comes to musically, like we're going to be able to bounce off a lot of ideas and he's going to be easy to work with. So, Addy, I owe you a verse, bro. I'm sorry.
Shout out.
I've been mad busy. I mean, fuck, I was working on the album, you know, but Adamir, who haven't I worked with yet.
Yup. Who else? Kid Lords.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how we fit musically. I did actually, fun fact, I did work with TB Payback for an older version of Everlasting.
Yeah.
Like, we're talking the 2020 version. She has like one of her first verses ever on it.
Okay.
She has one of her first verses on it.
Uh-huh.
Like ever, because she only been doing this music shit for like 4 years now.
Right. Yeah.
And it's somewhere on my hard drive, but like I've grown. I didn't want the song to sound like that. Yeah. I couldn't just have her verse just over some new shit without her permission and shit like that. So that's in the vault. But we've worked together. But Kid Lords, like I love to do some shit with them. I don't know what. I love to hear Zev on some jazz shit. I might literally make some shit for breath.
I noticed this too at your Adults Only show, because it was like NJ and Joe Asuka and Chosen is Frozen, and I was like, these are a lot of people who like are. It's like hip hop, but it's like it's kind of in it's that different more psychedelic branches. Space, kind of more like genreless, and then you kind of have a lot more like kind of core hip hop, like and. I was meaning to ask you, like, how does it feel to kind of be part of that kind of collective, but in a slightly different space with the more core?
Man, it's interesting for sure.
Yeah.
It's definitely interesting because one, I don't think I don't think my voice sounds good over like grade shit. Not yet, at least. I have to play around with it. Uh-huh. But being in a group that's so versatile in like these different branches of hip hop, or you know, subsections or subgenres. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's crazy, man. Like, I be feeling sad though, because I feel like a lot of them. I love them to death. These are my guys. I feel like a lot of them can basically just do whatever. And I feel like because I've been working so hard on my craft and like maintaining a little closer to the roots of hip hop that I've literally been like, if I can do like a stats, right?
Mm-hmm.
We got like Cho, we got NC, we got Kairvani, we got Joe, right? Like they've been kind of just like going like this with everything, like I can do this, and then like they've really been honing in on a lot of different shit while I feel like I've been kind of like going like this for just strictly like building my own unique, super unique sound, and that's not no shade, like I love this, those are my those are my brothers.
Yeah.
That's my family. Yeah, for real. I listen to them like fans. Yeah. I love their shit.
Uh-huh.
But I for whatever reason, my brain just wants to do the opposite of what's, I guess, I don't want to say the status quo. That sounds too uppity. But uh-huh. you get what I'm trying to say. Like, yeah. I'm trying to do something outside of the realm of what we know as traditional hip hop, while mm-hmm. also trying to steer clear of Tyler, the Creator allegations. I'm going to just say it on the record.
Uh-huh.
I fucking hate being compared to bro. I hate really? That shit. I do.
Okay.
I love, that's my guy, man.
Yeah.
That's
my guy. You mentioned, because we were talking the other day and you said your three like favorite hip hop albums are Because of the Internet, the Neptunes
and
like, thing.
And Wolf. Yeah, by Tyler, the Creator.
Uh-huh.
That's my guy, man. He's always been core to my beliefs and like my artistic endeavors and just uh-huh. believing in myself and doing what I want.
Yeah.
It just sucks because we're super similar in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
It's annoying to me because I've been getting compared to him before I even knew who he was. When the Yonkers video came out in 2011, I was in middle school.
Yeah.
And I remember I used to wear like shorts and shit like that.
Oh, and people were like Tyler, the Creator.
Not even like cut shorts. It'd be like basketball shorts. Yeah. But I was just like a goofy black kid who was just like kind of weird and out of pocket and shit like that. Not to be like those, I was an outsider, I was an outcast.
Yeah.
Never felt like that. I was always accepted. And if no one accepted me, I didn't really give a fuck.
Yeah.
But around the Yonkers video, I guess mm-hmm. we just kind of looked similar. I don't see it.
Yeah.
But like eighth graders would like make fun of me one day because the video came out. They're like, yo, this little nigga look like Tyler, the Creator. And I was like, who the fuck was that? Like, who the fuck is that? And they laughed at me. Damn. And I remember I watched the Yonkers video and it scared the fuck out of me.
Damn.
Because I was like, what the fuck? What is this? But I ended up watching Loader Squad on Adult Swim.
Yeah.
And I never connected the two. I didn't know that he was the same person who was in Loader Squad because I was just not paying attention like that. Yeah. I also didn't have internet at my mom's house from like 2011 to 2014. So
got you.
The blog era shit, like I missed a lot of those crucial moments because if I had internet, I had to go to my dad's house.
Mm-hmm.
So I ended up hearing Wolf for the first time when I was like 13. It was the first album like I really bought on iTunes on my iPod. It's like my iPod Touch, iPod Touch, fourth gen. I bought that. It was so eclectic, it was so different. And I already liked hip hop. My mom and my pops raised me on hip hop.
Yeah.
But when I heard those chords to Wolf, that shit changed. Wolf
got me into it, yeah.
That shit changed my life. Bro, when I tell you that shit absolutely changed my life, it did.
Yeah.
I heard everything he was saying, especially when you're 13 years old, you're like really starting to grow into yourself. You're about to go to high school. You're like in eighth grade or whatever. Most of the time you're in eighth grade.
Mm-hmm.
Heard that shit for the first time, heard the chords. I was like, no, this is amazing.
Yeah.
He's figured it out. My mom didn't like him at first. He was like, he's weird. I'm like, you don't get it. Like, you don't fucking get it. He's going to be here for a long time. You don't get it.
Yeah.
And I got compared to him a lot. Like, and mind you, when you're in high school and shit, you start like trying to emulate who you see. So I started wearing a lot more bright colors. When I was in middle school, all we could wear was black, white, or gray because that was our dress code. Uh-huh. High school, I started wearing a lot of shit. I would wear shit.
Mm-hmm.
I would wear shit that didn't make sense together on purpose because I wanted to piss people off because I thought I was being smart. Like, haha, you're worried about what I'm wearing. Meanwhile, there are people fucking dying. Like, there are people who are starving. Like, you're worried about this fucking outfit. It's fabric. Who gives a fuck?
Uh-huh.
I thought I was being smart. And deep and shit. It's really not that deep. I get it, but it's not that deep.
Yeah.
But I was constantly getting compared to him because I'm goofy. Right. I'd say a lot of out-of-pocket shit because I thought it was funny. Uh-huh. And they're like, oh, Tyler does that. You're just like Tyler. Yeah. It's because I'm a black dude. He's a black dude.
Yeah.
I'm out of pocket. He be out of pocket.
Yeah.
We make music. Uh-huh. I wear fucking bright colors. He wear bright colors.
Yeah.
It was like, I couldn't escape it, bro. Like, no matter what I did.
That's kind of, uh-huh.
So, you know, love him to death. Manifest is written about him. Off of Cowboy, I wrote about the first time I met him.
Oh, you met him?
I met him a couple times, but the first time we talked, it was at the golf store. We talked for like 20 minutes.
Oh, wow.
He signed my jacket. I even asked him to. Oh,
that's crazy.
Yeah, I should have brought it. Fuck.
Shout out.
Yeah. But yeah, shout out Tyler, man. Love him to death. Still a huge inspiration.
Did you tell him that you got compared to him a lot?
No. But I did tell him that Wolf changed my life. Yeah. And I was telling, like, he was like, that was so crazy. He locked eyes with me because I was like, look. I was like, Wolf was a big part of my teenagehood.
Yeah.
Like, that changed my life. I heard those first piano chords to Wolf. I was like, from there, I was hooked. Like, thank you.
Yeah, see, for me, it was definitely, like, Tyler, the Creator is also, I would say, one of my biggest inspirations. And I first got hip to him from Wolf, but I think it wasn't until Cherry Bomb where I was like, oh, this
word,
is
Yeah. I hear that a lot. It was interesting to me.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, like, I told him I was 13 when Wolf came out. He was like, I was 21. That's fucking crazy. That's
crazy. Yeah,
I was like, wow, yeah. But yeah, I hate getting compared to him because I'm trying to do my own thing.
Yeah, for real.
And when you get boxed into like an alternative hip hop artist, people are immediately going to be drawn to Tyler.
Yeah.
And on Knox, I try to steer away from that. It just sucks because we both like jazz chords. Yeah. So I have that shit sprinkled all over Knox, and plus it's super. It's super indie alternative, so of course, like, the comparisons are going to be, like, who's the biggest artist who's doing this shit, who has a platform? Of course, it's going to be Tyler. If he didn't exist, like, no, I would be Tyler if he didn't exist, you know? But people are going to compare because, you know, they like to relate to things, and I can't blame them. That's on them. But I try to steer as clear away from my comparisons to him as possible because I don't want to be known as a clone, bro. Like, I'm my own artist. I'm my own.
So, to bring it back, who is your dream collab who you don't know? I guess you know him, Tyler, so he's not, he doesn't do,
I don't know him like that, like, but either Donald Glover or Kendrick Lamar.
Okay,
either of those two. And it and it could be musical, it can be, but they do a lot of shit. I think they're also low-key on some sneak director shit. Well, right, Donald Glover is for sure. I want to work with Kendrick, man.
Kendrick. Cool. His last album was very theatrical. You have a kind of theater theme.
Yeah.
To your shit too.
Someone on the internet's gonna be fucking like, it's because they're both Geminis or some stupid shit.
Yeah.
Which is like whatever.
But with IDK.
I love IDK.
Okay. Yeah. IDK and you, that's it. That's. Yeah, that's another.
I love IDK. Yeah. Do you have a sticker from him?
Yes,
I was very bad. Yeah,
I wanted. I low key when that album came out, I wanted to get it like tattooed on. I was like, I was super crazy. Into it. Yeah, no.
Yeah,
IDK, that's. I would say that's the most underrated like modern.
Oh, I would agree. Like, I think.
Yeah, I love IDK.
I think he's underrated in general.
Yeah.
He makes a lot of quality top tier music. His shit is not fast food. It's not cookie cutter. Nah. It's so good.
Yeah.
But I think honestly that might be a choice on him. Not to sound like a conspiracy theorist, but I don't know if he even wants to be like, well, like world renowned, like mega status. Is like Kendrick.
I forget, like 2020. I was like thinking, I was like, does he like want it? Like, do they like just not know what to do with him? Like, why is he not on the like double X?
Because he's, it's easy, it's easy to market him.
Yeah, for real.
Like, he has fire songs. I seen him perform at Camp Flogna in 2019.
Yeah.
Like, he's fucking good. No, or is it 19 or is it 18? Sorry, I can't remember. It's probably 18.
Yeah.
But he's really fucking good. Uh-huh. His music's really fucking good. Yeah. He hits. He's never missed for me, bro. Like, he's good. I fuck with IDK, but I would love to work with Kendrick.
Kendrick, for sure.
Also, just talk to him too. Like,
I
feel like he has me and him share a lot of ideals based on what I heard from his music and shit like that.
Yeah,
most of his albums I relate to in one way or another. His soul cuts through every track he's on.
Yeah.
So yeah, Kendrick Lamar, if I could.
And then one last real quick. I don't want my phone to die, but. Nah, we chilling though. This is good. This is a long form. What do you have a favorite song that you've done? Are they all your kids? You like
favorite song I've done?
Yeah.
Ooh. Fuck. Dude, probably. Fuck. That's such a crazy question, dude.
Yeah.
Probably Brains.
Brains?
Okay. Oh, that shit, the fucking video cut.
Damn.
That's crazy.
Hold up.
Alright.
Alright, I charged my phone a little bit. We back. Your favorite song?
Brains. It's Brains. There was something about it that was so simple. It took me 15 minutes to do. Made it on FL.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, this shit hard. Like, this is like that 90s boom bap. Oh, this shit hard. The verses, my initial verse where it sucked.
Yep.
Then I wrote a new one.
Uh-huh.
But then it sounded weird by myself. And then when we did the lock-in, the homies I met that week were like, yo, this is hard. Can I hop on this? And then that's how the Brains track, the Posse Cut, came to be. My favorite song I've ever done.
Thank you for tapping in. My computer better that too. it's all good. What, you got plans for the future? I know, I heard the song you got with Arlena.
We have some unreleased shit. I have a lot of unreleased songs. Might drop an EP or two. I don't know. I'm not really an EP artist. I'm more like an album person.
Yeah.
I'm working on the third album. Word. Been working on it for a minute.
Yeah.
Fire. Nothing crazy. We got the short film coming out April 27th.
Yep, April 27th.
I hold myself to that date.
There we go.
Knox, the short film. The homies are acting in it, starring in it. Yeah. I directed it, edited it, whatever.
Well,
thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
Fake Radio.
Jaden Dante Greer. We got Harry on the show. What's up, Harry? Harry fucks with your music.
Shout out Harry, man.
Yep.
Fuck with Harry.
Shout out Jimmy K Feds and the Squeeze Squad. Free Palestine.
Free Palestine, for sure.
Yep.
We don't fuck with genocide.
We out.
Peace.